Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Stogies and Beer, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in to the show and boast about the sport they love. We cover NBA, MLB, NFL. This is a football talk show, so we talk a lot about the NFL. We cover hip-hop, R&B, business, e-commerce, National Hockey League, craft beer, custom cigars. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer radio show. Today's show is going to be talking about Major League Baseball and National League Championship Series and NBA season openers. Again, Major League Baseball, NLCS, and NBA season openers. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a global listening audience. Topics to cover will be results from the Major League Baseball National League Championship Series last night and NBA opening day results from last night, mainly the Lakers and the Celtics. Lakers got beat by Golden State Warriors. The Celtics beat the Philadelphia 76ers. So the winners were Golden State and also the Boston Celtics. Not really surprised last night that Golden State dominated the Lakers. I'm not really surprised about it. If you'd like to call in and debate me on those topics, including Major League Baseball results from last night, which the Padres lost 2-0 to the Philadelphia Phillies. Who was that? I believe Schwarber and Bryce Harper went yard on Yu Darvish last night. So even though Darvish, I believe, gave him 7 good innings, He got the yard with somebody. Harper went yard on him in the bottom of the fourth, and Schwarber, I believe his name, went yard on him in the top of the sixth. So the fourth and the sixth weren't that good for Yu Darvish last night. Going back to the Lakers against Golden State, I'm not surprised that they lost that game. Golden State got their rings last night. They were all hyped up, amped up. A lot of stuff going on in the locker room with Draymond Green, Jordan Poole with the fight. that type of thing. So they probably just wanted to come out and show everybody that they had still have team unison to win, and they beat the Lakers pretty good, 123-109 on the monitor. They're saying last night's show, the Golden State Warriors can move on from Draymond and the pool altercation. I think so. Fights happen. Like, I think I heard Reggie Miller last night saying that that's a common thing in the locker room. He's seen it all the time. So the media just made a big deal. And plus, you know, you got cameras everywhere. TMZ is hiding everywhere. TMZ got agents hiding everywhere. So when they can get, you know, somebody can, you know, sneak some footage out, leak it to the media, and they can get a little check from somebody like a TMZ or some type of a major social media, television media outlet, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. So with that being said, I'm not surprised that the Golden State Warriors came out victoriously in dramatic fashion, 123-109 against the Lakers. And again, of course, with the Lakers, everybody's saying, oh, it's Russell Westbrook. Charles Barkley said last night he just wants Russell to get traded because he's not playing with the motivation. He doesn't have it. He doesn't look like he's playing kind of – he's still playing well, playing like a pro. You understand why he's on the court, because he is a professional. But Charles Barkley was saying last night, and I have to agree, that it seems like they're just taking the joy out of the man, out of his game, taking the joy out of his game. I won't say that his play has suffered. It's just his attitude. It seems like, you know, when you're watching him, he's pissed off. The joy is gone. He's pissed off because he's trying to answer the critics. And I think that's the worst thing you could do to anybody, is to keep on riding them, dogging them, because the thing that struck me as interesting is that Darvin Ham, the coach, had Russell playing with the ones. I think I've seen him on the court with LeBron James and AD at the same time, and at least LeBron James and himself at the same time. So I'm trying to figure, if they don't work well together, why wasn't Russell Westbrook just coming off the bench with the second unit? Why wasn't he just coming off the bench with the second unit? He's supposed to be the captain of the second unit. And I would have rather just seen him in that capacity, because that way maybe he can get his joy back, even though he may feel like, well, I'm not running with the ones, with the alphas. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to run with the beta. Sometimes you got to be the alpha for the beta team. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as my money is right, I could care less. There's less wear and tear on my knees. I'm already going to the Hall of Fame. I've already won an MVP. Who cares? I wish I could get Russell Westbrook on this show and just tell him, hey, man, you know, I would care less. You're getting paid. They got to pay you. They can't trade you nowhere. And if they choose to just let you sit on the bench and play in spots, as long as I'm getting my check, I wouldn't give a damn. You know, excuse my language. I try not to use any type of bad language on the show, but I got a little excited there. But I think damn can be said on regular TV now. You know, think words like damn, hell, I think they can be said on regular TV. So sometimes I make a little exception for those type of words. But if I got any kids out there listening, or any religious people listening to my show, I apologize. But back to what I was saying, you know, sorry for getting a little excited. But I wouldn't care. I could care less if I was sitting on the bench, if I was Russell Westbrook and basically coming off the bench. Because they're going to utilize it. They have to. You can't let good talent like that you're paying just sit there. So, I mean, he's going to get his playing time. He's going to get his playing time no matter what. And I would just basically be content with, okay, I'm, you know, basketball ain't like football. In football, if you're the quarterback, and they say, okay, well, this ain't working out, we're gonna sit you on the bench, and now you're standing there holding the clipboard with the other backup quarterback, and then you got the starter on the field, like in the case of Dak Prescott, which we'll get into that later with Dak. But you know, Dak is like, I'm not sitting on the bench behind Cooper Rush. I get that, because that means you're not coming in with the second team. You're not coming in with the first team. You're not coming in at all. In basketball, okay, you just, Russell Westbrook, if I'm understanding it right, is the starting point guard. LeBron James, if I'm understanding, is pretty much the point forward also most of the time. But when it comes down to it, if they're going to sit Russell Westbrook down and then bring him in and sit LeBron James down or Anthony Davis down or just bring in the whole second unit with Russell Westbrook running it or sit AD down and LeBron down and maybe have him out there with Pat Bev and some of these other acquisitions that they have, I wouldn't be upset if I was Rush. When I'm on the court, I'm going to just get mine. I'm going to try to hit me. I'm going to try, if I'm Russell Westbrook, I'm trying to get 10 to 12 points a night, 10 to 12 points, three or four rebounds, just and then be solid from the line. That's a good night for me. I earned my check. I would take that pressure off of me of why we losing. I would keep my name out the media. Hey, I'm not even starting. Blame this fiasco on the starters. And at the same time, if they don't want me here, they can just send me home. They can just send me home and basically just go ahead on and do this thing themselves. And I'll just sit home and get my check. No problem. I'll sit home and get my check. If I want to just play basketball that bad, I'll go play overseas. I'll go play overseas. I don't know how that works. If they let you go play in Australia or whatever the case may be, I'll do that. I'll do that and get my check. Matter of fact, I'll go help some other guys get better. I'll go to the G League. I'll go play on the G League circuit and just, you know, keep my skills up at the next professional level. I'll go play with Team Big Night. Let them play with some young kids. Help them get better. And just basically get my regular NBA paycheck. We can do that. I go play for the South Bay Lakers. I go play with South Bay Lakers. Go out there and just, you know, find my love for the game again. It's almost like a Major League Baseball player that's been out, been injured. They'll send him down to the minor league. Let him, you know, get his legs back on him. Let him find that joy. Let him help develop some of the younger people. I do that before I sit back and listen to a bunch of criticism from people when I know, number one, I broke Oscar Robertson's record on triple-doubles. I'm an MVP, league MVP. I know I'm probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because I broke Oscar Robertson's record, a trip, you know, for X amount of nights in the season, X amount of games in the season. Russell Westbrook ain't got nothing to hold his head down about. Nevertheless, the Lakers lost last night, 123-109, and you know, but as far as the Draymond and Jordan Poole fiasco, you know, they'll get past that. That whole thing was all about hierarchy. It was all about a hierarchy. And the thing about the hierarchy is, if you seen last night in the ring ceremony, Draymond Green, who was that? Draymond Green, Iguodala, Steph Curry, and one more person, the hierarchy, Klay Thompson. So Klay Thompson, Iguodala, Green, Curry, that's the four-man hierarchy. They was all standing there, them alone, with their rings. Now, I know they had other people out there back in the day, a whole lot of, I think one of them was Mo Spates. I think he was out there at the ring ceremony. You had people like just different people that had been a part of the Golden State organization when they first really started getting good, when they had the first 50-win season, when they had Mark Jackson, and then they went on and got Steve Kerr. And, you know, you had a lot of people that was there that are not there anymore. They're playing on other teams like Harrison Barnes, if I'm correct, guys that were solid. But we were talking about the hierarchy, the four, the foundation, Thompson, Curry, Iguodala, Green, that's the hierarchy. Make no mistake about it. And for whatever reason, Jordan Poole stepped, you know, he challenged that hierarchy when he did whatever that pissed Draymond Green off. The hierarchy was challenged. Now, I don't know if it was something that great Draymond done to him, but it's just the fact that whatever Draymond did, Jordan Poole probably should just, you know, said, hey, man, you know what? I won't let that alone because that's a hierarchy. It's a hierarchy. I had one of my guys that came on my show. He said that, you know, when he came in, to start playing arena football. When he finally accepted it, he had to start playing somewhere to get his film to try to move up to a higher league like the USFL, XFL, on the way to the CFL or the NFL. He said that he came in and he wasn't starting right away. And in his mind, he thought he was going to come out there. Yeah, I'm going to come out there and I'm gonna either take somebody's job or I'm going to be on the field just as much as everybody else at my position. It didn't work like that because he had to understand the hierarchy. And he said this. This ain't me saying it. He said, I had to understand that anywhere you go, it's going to be a hierarchy. And you got to figure out a way to fit in within that hierarchy. And that's the same thing that I'm saying about Jordan Poole. Something happened. Make no mistake about it. Something happened because you don't just get into a fight unless something was said. One of those men said something to piss the other one off, and it got out of hand. But the thing that I'm saying is that sometimes when you're the new kid on the block, you've been there. This was second year. I think last year was his rookie year. This is second year in. If I'm correct, for Jordan Poole, he's got his money. I think he got about, you know, $40 million or something like that. I believe they said $40 million or $140 million, whatever. Probably $140 million on the NBA. He got his money. He earned his money because he was a key part of their victory, their championship run last year. But the point of the matter is, it's still a hierarchy, and he stepped out of line. He stepped out of line by instead of just saying, "Hey, man, I'm gonna ignore whatever Draymond's talking about and just keep it moving." That probably would have been the best thing because Draymond clearly put hands on him. Clearly put hands on him. And, you know, I hated to see that. But I like both of those guys. But it's a hierarchy. When the man been there, like I said, if you look at the hierarchy last night with those rings, those four guys standing alone. Curry, Iguodala, Thompson, Green. That's the hierarchy. That's the foundation of that basketball team. Those four and all the other 11 or 12 guys, you know, y'all role players, you know. Some of y'all got bigger roles than other ones, but y'all the role players. That's the hierarchy. Even Iguodala, he a little long in the tooth now. He's back for one more season. But he's one of them guys that he can depend on to go out there and get them garbage points. And at the same time, he's one of those guys that he'll kind of like pull a guy to the side and say, "Hey, man, what you doing? You know that ain't how we do things here." Like how he pulled Draymond Green to the side last year when Draymond got kicked out the game and he made a big ruckus. He's kind of like pulled him to the side, letting him know, "Hey, Dre, you know that ain't how we do things, man. We the hierarchy, we the foundation of this group. Got to teach these young guys, man, just go in the back. Don't make the situation no bigger than it is, because then it starts looking like it's about you and not about this team." And a lot of people seen that Iguodala pulled Draymond Green to the side and let him know that. And I think Draymond might have took a little exception to it, kind of like, "Man, I got this, get back." But at the same time, I believe he respected what Andre Iguodala was telling him. Moving on from that, we got on the monitor if there was a dirty play between Joel Embiid and Smart last night. They got into a little dust up, you know, under the basket. I guess, you know, Smart was kind of like trying to box out Embiid or something like that, and Embiid, you know, kind of grabbed his arm and kind of like done this funny twist move. It looked like he almost broke his arm or, you know, broke his elbow. But anyway, luckily Smart didn't get hurt. But when he went down, he tripped. Looked like he grabbed Embiid's ankle, and looked like Embiid done a flop. I don't think he did enough to knock big Embiid down, but it looked like Embiid just flopped down to try to get a foul. But anyway, I believe you had Brown ran up on Embiid, kind of like "What's up?" you know, type of thing. You know, why Embiid was down on the ground, then he jumps up. And, you know, they almost got into a dust-up. Now, do I think it was a dirty play? Do I think it was a big deal? I think it was a dirty play the way Embiid, you know, hooked, done that arm bar on Smart and threw him down because he could have injured him for the season. So I don't think that was good. But, you know, it's the NBA. I mean, it's almost like the NBA, you know, you can get away with, you know, being rough. In the NFL, you got to almost put a pillow up under somebody. It's just funny how they go. The NBA is getting more physical than the NFL. It's crazy. But anyway, the Boston Celtics did beat the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll get the actual score in a minute. In NHL news, the Bruins lost to the Senators 7-5 last night. I'm just calling that some NHL scores as they're coming across the monitor. And because I told myself that I wanted to make sure that I included my hockey notes. So as they're coming in over the monitor, I'll shout them out. It's a lot of other information that I'm seeing along with these scores. But as I see them, I'll interrupt what I'm talking about for a brief second to throw a score out there just for you that may be listening. The Lightning lost to the Flyers last night. So the Flyers 3, Lightning 2. Flyers over the Lightning 3-2 last night in hockey. I don't know what was hockey's opening night, but I think it was like last week sometime. I just started seeing a lot of hockey stuff last week. I don't know if they did a preseason or if they just went right off into the season. Somebody can, if you want to call into the show and educate me on that, you can. The Islanders 5 over the Sharks 2. Islanders 5, Sharks 2 in NHL news. If you want to call in and talk about any of these scores or any of the NHL action, feel free to call in and educate me on it. 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687 is the guest call in. So we can do that. We got the Flames 3, Knights 2. So the Flames 3 over the Golden Knights 2. And I like the Golden Knights. That's my hockey team. Then you have the Oilers lost to the Sabres 4-2. Sabres 4, Oilers 2. Sabres 4 over the Oilers 2. Got the Kings over the Predators. Kings 4, Predators 3. Kings over the Predators 4-3. Like I said, as these NHL scores pop up over the monitor, I'm going to just keep, you know, when I see them, I'm going to keep blasting them out to you. Make sure that everybody up to date on their hockey fix. Hockey is the fourth major U.S. sport, and they're supposed to be getting a $4 million salary cap salary cap could increase by more than $4 million. Salary cap for the NHL could increase by more than $4 million. So I think they're saying it's going to be based on the performance of the franchise. So yeah, that's the big thing. NFL news, they're saying the NFL adds a Black Friday game in 2023. NFL having a Black Friday game in 2023. It's got so crazy in this world when it comes down to money. The NFL is saying they're going to have a Black Friday football game. So Black Friday is now officially a holiday. Black Friday is now officially a holiday, and I think that's the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday, if I'm correct. The day after Thanksgiving, that's when the official holiday shopping season starts. So the NFL is going to add a 2023 Black Friday football game, which is so crazy because now you're going to have a lot of men staying at home watching that game, and their wives are not going to be happy that they got to go out and do all the Christmas shopping alone for the kids. So I think the NFL is causing some problems in the household by doing that. All right, it is 8:24 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. And it is 70 degrees Fahrenheit, sunny in San Diego, California. Again, 8:24 a.m. on deck, Pacific Standard Time. And this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, our topic is Major League Baseball, National League Championship Series, and NBA season openers. That's what we're talking about this morning, just going over some of the scores. In baseball, the Phillies 2, Padres 0 from last night in the National League Championship. Aaron Judge and the Yankees moved on over the Cleveland Guardians 5-1. They moved on, and they'll be playing today, I believe, in the American League Championship series opener against the Houston Astros. So they had a quick turnaround. They had enough time last night to drink their celebration champagne and get on the plane, get some sleep, and touch down. And get to the hotel, get a little more sleep, and then get on the baseball field today. But to be honest, I think that's the way they normally do things. It's just they didn't get to do any hard celebrating last night for going into the ALCS. But, you know, these guys, they play back-to-back games all the time, fly in, fly out, so they'll be all right. They're professional athletes, and plus they're getting paid handsomely for to do that. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer radio show. And we're going to be going into our music mix, and then we'll be back. Stand by. All right. Hello, and welcome back to the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. This is your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. Stokers of Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And Stokers of Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport that he or she loves the most. You can call into the show at 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687 if you care to call in and debate about any of the topics in sporting news today. If it's a topic I don't know much about or a sport that I don't know much about, you can teach me about it. And if it's a sport that you don't know about, I can teach you about it. So this is a all interactive sports broadcast where, like I said, you know, we talk about mainly football because this is a football talk show. So we talk a lot about the NFL, but we also cover all the sports like NBA. Like today, we're talking about the season openers and Major League Baseball results from last night. Speaking of Major League Baseball, I got my good friend calling in from Detroit, Michigan, former collegiate baseball player, currently a free agent. Still looking for an opportunity, my man JB out of Detroit. JB, I'm coming to you. Last word, 2642. I'm coming to you in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good morning, JB.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, doing all right. I'm glad I was able to catch you. I hit you up yesterday trying to schedule you to be on the show, but I said I'd give you one more try this morning. Maybe I could catch you before you got off into your training sessions and everything like that and your work. But I was trying to get you for about 10 minutes to give me some insight on what happened to the Padres last night. Why couldn't they pull that off, man, last night? What was so
yeah.
– I mean, they saying Darvish gave him good seven innings, you know, but he still couldn't get out the fourth and out the sixth with Harper and Schwarber, I believe, going yard on him. So
yeah.
Tell us what the Padres need to do, man.
Man, I think at this point, if you can pitch around Harper and Schwarber, I think you'd be fine, man. I mean, you let two guys, I mean, especially Harper. He's my favorite player to me. Like, Harper has always been my favorite player since he came to the league. And a guy like that, in a moment like that, and Harper's big in moments, you can't let him beat you. So, you know, you can give up a walk and let other guys in that lineup. That's not a deep lineup. I mean, the Phillies are great. Don't get me wrong. But that's not a deep lineup. So what the Padres have to do is, you gotta just let other guys beat you. It's just like in any other sport, just like in basketball, just like in any other sport. Baseball is just a little bit different. You can pitch around a guy, you can give up some walks and stuff like that. But the another thing is too, man, you gotta hit the ball. That's just it. I mean, to have a guy throw a gem like that, I mean, Darvish gave up two runs. That's, I mean, in the postseason, that's pretty good. I mean, if you look over at the Yankee series, I mean, they won, you know, big. So, you know, in the playoffs, you just got to be able to put you got to be able to put the bat on the ball. And I think the Padres, where they fall short at, is one, you're missing Tatis. You know, that's the guy that you put him in the lineup, your whole dynamic changes. You know, but you got to be able to, you know, hit the ball. I mean, Cronenworth is hitting great, don't get me wrong. He has hit consistently. You know, there has to be more runners on to get your guys. You pay Machado to knock guys in. Machado can't knock everybody in. There's no one on, you know? So
right.
I definitely say you guys got to – it got to be a smart approach. And I definitely got to hit the ball. Because the thing is –
what's going on with Bell?
Man, I think personally –
what's going on with Bell?
I think when I look at Bell, I look at him as – one, Bell's a big guy. I think Bell's like 6'4", 6'5", 260. Mm-hmm. Bell's a big boy. But I think with Bell is it's the pressure of – because when he's with the Nationals, right, there was no postseason anything. So he was balling out because he wasn't playing for anything. Bell wasn't playing for playoffs or – the Nationals were not good. But Bell played because, you know, he wants to get paid. Well, now with the Padres making the trade that they did, that pressure of I need to come in and perform and be the hero is all on Bale. And he feels that. Soto feels that. When a team go and get you and they tell you that we are going to get you because you can help us in our World Series hunt, that's a lot a person is dealing with mentally. So because baseball is such a mental sport, man, Bale, I think Bale, his whole thing is just mental. It's not even the physical because he's swinging a bat. It's just he's not swinging at the pitch that he can drive.
Because last night I thought he was going to be able to get us in because he was the last guy. And I was like, all right, we had two on base, if I'm correct. So that would have put us up, what, 3-2? Am I correct?
Yeah, yep. And like I said, Bill, don't get me wrong, and I've always been a big fan of Bill with him being a big switch hitter like that. Don't get me wrong, your approach during the regular season is totally different in the postseason because regular season, man, everyone goes for homers. I mean, if you look at 4 or 5 years of baseball, 6 years potentially, you're looking at a swing and miss type of game. Either I'm going for a home run or I'm striking out. That's just the way the game is. So in the postseason, it's different. You got to get guys on. You got to cut your swing down. You might can't go for the 400-foot bomb, but if I get a single, let my guy behind me hit a gap, and then, yeah, if we run into one, yeah, we'll hit a homer. But Judge hit 63 homers. He only has one postseason home run right now. He only has one. And during the regular season, he was hitting one every other day. You know what I'm saying? So his approach, it's not like he's having bad approaches. Now he's probably cut it down to say, I'm just trying to drive the ball to get my guys a chance to win. And that's what playoff baseball is about.
What do they need to do tonight against Houston to alleviate Yard and Alvarez some consistently going yard on them? And what does Judge and Stanton need to do to pull out a win against the Astros tonight?
You got to capitalize on the zone. I mean, like I said, if you look at, for me, when I look at Stanton, and I look at guys like Stanton, I look at Judge, and trust me, Judge is a big boy. Stanton is a big boy. But the thing is, Stanton has to cut down his swing. That's just it. And Stanton has not been able to figure that out. Because if you look at Stanton, he's bailing out of a lot of pitches that Stanton should be killing, he's missing because he's trying to pull and trying to hit a home. You don't need that. But with Judge, I would say with them two, it's capitalize on each pitch in the zone. You just can't miss your pitch. That's it. Because Houston is a good enough team that this might not be the Correa and Bregman and Altuve team, but they still got some good guys over there. You know, they still got some they got some dogs over there in Houston. Yeah, Yordan Alvarez that's playing out of his mind. That should be an MVP candidate.
Yep.
You know, so Altuve's playing, you know, he's hitting the ball great. The shortstop Pena hitting the homer against, you know, the Mariners. You know, stuff like that, man. It's like they have such a great system. And it's kind of like you look at, like, with the Warriors, right? So the Warriors have their guys, right, which is Steph and Klay, right? But they have developed such a system where Jordan Poole just got a 4-year, like, $140 million contract because of the development. You get what I'm saying? So
right.
There's always guys in each sport, in each organization. You might see the wins, but you don't see the development that goes into the wins. And, man, the Astros, I mean, have a great chance, man. I'm sorry. I just can't sleep on them. Because I'm not a big believer in the Yankees just yet. But, you know, you never know. Tonight might be a one-sided night, and it might go, you know, tooth and nail. So you just never know.
Okay, before I get you out of here, I got this question and one more after this, and I'll get you out of here. But who do you got going about baseball? Who's going to the World Series? Who's going?
Oof. Man, to be honest. Man, you know what? I'm looking at, personally, I'm going with, if the Yankees can prove to be the team that they should be, I will go Yankees versus, I'm going Yankees versus Padres. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
Because I think if you cut down, if the Padres, again, those are two teams that, to me, I was saying should be World Series candidates before the season started. So that was before Tatis hurt himself, before Judge hit 100,000 home runs this year. Those two teams are great, man. So I would say, you know, definitely those are my two, Yankees versus Padres.
All right, my last question for you before I let you get off the line, basketball related. Last night, you seen the Lakers. They went down 123-109 to the hands of the Golden State Warriors. And they're still talking about Russell Westbrook. I even got it on the monitor this morning. They're saying that KD even came to Russell Westbrook defense, just like Charles Barkley last night. KD saying that, hey, man, you can't keep making this guy the butt of your jokes now. It's getting ridiculous. Then Charles Barkley last night, I don't know if you heard him, he was saying that, I wish they just go ahead on and trade Westbrook because he's not playing. You can see he don't have any joy. He's upset. He's angry. He don't have the joy of playing basketball. Do you think the criticism on Russell Westbrook is warranted?
You know what? And you know I love basketball, man. I can sit here and talk basketball with you for hours. But when you look at Westbrook, when has Westbrook ever been an efficient shooter? Right? He's never been a guy that just pulls up like he's Clay. You know, he's just – that's never been his game. Triple-double, driving the rim, mid-range. He's done that. You get what I'm saying? But – and LeBron is my GOAT. That's my guy. But when you play with LeBron, everybody has a more of a microscope, a magnifying glass over them, right? Prime example, AD, right? You see AD, everyone doesn't believe in the Lakers because they know AD is going to be hurt. They can't win because AD is hurt. You know what I'm saying? So
he hurt now, ain't he?
I think he tweaked something. I know he had a good game last night, but he tweaked something. But, again, it goes back to what I've been saying. You have to – people have to look at Westbrook overall. And Westbrook is one of the – to me, he's one of the greatest players, one of the greatest point guards to play. You can't average a triple-double for 2-3 years and people don't give you a credit. I think the reason is because LeBron has no one to really shoot the ball around him, that now, because of how Westbrook played last year, now it's, oh, man, it's all Westbrook's fault. No, it's not. It's not all Westbrook's fault because at the end of the day, Westbrook wasn't the reason why they didn't win last year. AD got hurt every other game. You're talking about Kendrick Nunn. He was hurt all year. I mean, the different bonehead mistakes that the front office made. Stuff like that, man. So, like, the whole, oh, Westbrook is the scapegoat, I don't believe it. I personally think, man, he's never been a great shooter. Like, he's just been a hooper. Like, that's just it. You know, so.
I mean.
Let
me ask you this here. Because coming across my monitor, they were saying just a second ago, let's go to the Brooklyn Nets. They were saying, do you think that Ben Simmons is going to be an all-star this year? I'm like, in my mind, if you just like Westbrook, if you let him play his game, because Ben Simmons ain't never been a shooter. Even when he was at LSU, he wasn't like shooting mid-range shots and all that. We knew him for what? Going to the hole, taking it to the rack, and playing good defense. When I seen him in the preseason game, I think that was last week or so, I forgot who they were playing, but Ben Simmons looked good on defense. He had a couple turnovers and a nice amount of rebounds. But all they're trying to, hey, man, kick it out to him and let him hit a mid-range shot. That's KD's job. That's Kyrie's job, in my opinion. So speak to that.
Yeah, I mean, to that, you hit it right on the head, man. Like, these guys aren't shooters. Like, I hate when people try to make people's games their game. Like, you know, that everybody should be 6'10 shooting. You know, Ben Simmons, dude, he can't shoot. He never shot before. So if this year he doesn't shoot, will I be shocked? No, because that's not his game. You know, that's put the ball in his hand, let him do a pick and roll, KD for a three, Joe Harris for a three, Kyrie for a three, I mean, they got a plethora of shooters over there. I mean, Edmund Sumner that's from here. Like, you know, stuff like that, man. Like, let's stop making these guys games and trying to generalize them to being somebody that they're not. Everyone's not Steph. Everyone is not LeBron. Everyone's not KD. Everyone's not Giannis. Giannis has learned to shoot the ball. You get what I'm saying? But is Giannis, can Giannis beat you on a whole game full of threes? No. He's going to bully ball, and then he might mix in a three or a mid-range here and there. That's his game. So am I? So do I expect the Nets to be in the finals? To me personally, I don't think so. But I can't wait to the middle of the season where everyone is criticizing Westbrook and everyone's criticizing Ben Simmons. But these guys are still great ball. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait, because you're going to hear my words and want to say, that's not these guys' game. So why are we trying to make it to where, oh, man, Ben Simmons got to shoot? He ain't never had to shoot before. Giannis can't shoot. Giannis can't shoot, but when you're six, well, you're in your 7 foot, you move like a gazelle, you're strong, you can bully anybody in the league. I think he's going to stick to his game. That's just it. I mean, and go back to the thing with Westbrook. I hope that the Lakers make one big move, and whether it includes Westbrook or don't, you know, it is what it is. But let's not forget, the Lakers had a chance to get Buddy Hield. You had a chance to get Buddy Hield before you got Westbrook. So this is not a Westbrook requested to be in L.A. It was, I mean, yeah, Westbrook, that was one of his destinations. But Rob Pelinka blew that when he was supposed to get Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield. Yep.
You know, so let's not sit here and play the whole, man, that's the scapegoat. Okay, well, if we're going to blame Westbrook, we better blame AD. I'm sorry. If you're going to blame Westbrook and put all the blame on him for his inefficiency, you better put the same thing on AD. For him not being –
because AD
year,
really
–
so since AD left New Orleans and came to the Lakers, he's the one that game has changed, because, number one, you're always hurt since you've been in L.A. You wasn't always hurt in New Orleans, and when you was in New Orleans, you was balling out, but then you wanted out. Now they brought you to L.A., and even though y'all won the bubble championship, but it's still a championship, you still ain't been the same since that point. Russell Westbrook has not changed his tune since he was in Oklahoma, Houston, Washington, now L.A. So that's what puzzles me.
He ain't changed. I'm not expecting him to. That's the thing. I'm not even expecting this man to change. Like, I'm not expecting Westbrook to come out shooting like Steph. I'm not expecting him to. What I am expecting is that Westbrook that was aggressive, that got his shot. But right now, all the talk of, I mean, of course, if someone, prime example, if someone keep coming, if every day you wake up and someone say, man, you shouldn't be on the radio. Man, you shouldn't be doing this. Man, we need to get him. You, matter of fact, instead of doing this product, like the morning time, you really need to do nighttime. If somebody keeps saying that to you every day, your mind, you'll be like, man, you'll be second guessing yourself too.
It's human nature. Let me ask you this here, and then I'll let you get off.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this here real quick before I let you get off. The when you talk about hierarchy real quick, because I don't want to hold you too long. When you talk about hierarchy, last night we seen the ring ceremony in Golden State. So it's kind of like a two-part question. Two-part question is, number one, is Golden State going to repeat as champions? But last night at the ring ceremony, you seen the hierarchy of the whole team there together. But then, well, not the hierarchy, but you seen the whole team together with their ring taking that photo. But after that, you seen four guys. Iguodala, Thompson, Curry, and Green. That's the hierarchy. So when I say the hierarchy, that was the foundation of that organization. Now, we did lose some people like Harrison Barnes, certain ones like Mo Spates, I believe. You know, he was with them in the beginning. But the four that was originally there, and I think Iguodala may or may not have been when Mark Jackson was there when they had their first 50-win season, and they just went on from there. Those four guys are the hierarchy. Now, when it's this thing with Poole and Green, if you notice, Poole was not in that photo. He was not, because he's not part of that hierarchy. So are you surprised that something happened in training where Green attacked who? I look at it like this here. I know hierarchy. We both been athletes. So my whole thing is somebody must have said something. Pooh must have said, I feel like this, whether Draymond started it, I feel like Pooh should have been like, whatever he said, man, bump it. I'm just here to get my money. I know he been here. He a leader. He part of the hierarchy. He a part of the upper echelon of this team. Now, if Pooh started and said something out of line, you know, you shouldn't have done that either because Draymond Green hierarchy. Stay in your lane. So I feel like Draymond Green put hands on him and just put him back in line. Let me let you know what time it is. You're going to stay in your lane. Until even though this is your second year, you ain't a rookie, but it's your second year, you still ain't at that level to run your mouth to me, a step to me. So what do you think about that? Then I'll let you go.
Man, you know, I've been hearing, like, even like I was hearing that Poole was talking crazy last year. Like, I've been hearing that. I mean, I've been hearing that he came into training camp last year talking crazy. So that's the thing, man. It's like you said, it's that hierarchy. You know, like you said, with a team, you know who the leaders are. You know who the OGs are. You know what this guy's about. You know what this guy's about because you with these guys every day, right? But I think what happened with when Klay got hurt, Steph needed Poole. That's just it. So, like, man, I deserve just as much credit as the next person, but when you don't, because you've proven that you are a great ball player for one year, but Draymond is a leader. Draymond, whether you want to say Steph is a leader, Klay's a leader, Iguodala's a leader, Draymond's a leader because Draymond doesn't average 30. Draymond doesn't shoot 40 shots a game. Draymond, hear me when I say this. There is not one offensive play that is drawn up for Draymond. There is none. Like, there's absolutely none. You get what I'm saying? So
he ain't that, he ain't that guy. Again, that ain't his game.
Exactly. It goes back to my point. He knows his game. He knows his role, which means that I'm going to know my game, know my role, but I'm going to lead with a certain way. So, yeah, when you come to me with all this rah-rah, like how Poole did, he put him in his place. Now, do I think the whole thing, because do I think that Draymond has probably fought somebody on that team? No, it's not. It's not the first time. And it's not going to be the last time. It just so happened that this video got out. That's it. This type of stuff happens when you're an athlete. And trust me, I've been in it. I've been in a few fights in my sport and playing ball. I've been in a few fights my whole career. This type of stuff happens. But this type of stuff happens you probably can count thousands of times where people have, we got in that locker room or we got in that practice, or because at the end of the day, when y'all are hungry, but you want to win. At the end of the day, that team is going to win. Do I think they're going to go back-to-back? It looks like it. Unless the Lakers make a big move, we're looking at the Warriors probably doing a repeat. Because you got to remember, Wiseman is still not – I don't think Wiseman played last night. So when they get him back fully healthy, that team is hard to beat. So, man, I just think personally, dude, I think they're going to probably go back-to-back. I think Draymond is – I mean, they're going to enjoy this year because I think Draymond's contract is up at the end of this year. And they don't probably just let him go. And I think that's going to be it.
Have it work out for Draymond. He'll be fine down the line. He'll still make a little bit of more money. But, I mean, that franchise is set for another dynasty type of situation. But before you go, man, plug in your nonprofit organization real quick. So if anybody out there listening, they can donate to your cause. Go ahead and do that, and then we'll get you off.
Yes, sir. Yep, you can always follow the Instagram page, Jamarz Jammies. So that's JamarzJammies. You can always find it there, or you can even Google it. And then if you have any questions, the website will be up by Saturday. I had to take it down for a second just because there were some things I need to fix on there. But that definitely will be up, so that will be JamarzJammies.com. And if you have any questions on how to find me, man, or how to donate, it's J_Bray,
So J_BRAY33 on Instagram and J_Bray44 on Twitter. And definitely, you know, appreciate you bringing me on, man.
Hey, man, thank you for coming on and everything like that, man. We'll be in touch as these series go on. I'll hit you up every couple of days and try to get you on here and educate everybody with your knowledge of baseball. But I want to thank you for coming on the show. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, now, have a good day. Bye-bye. Yes, everybody that's just tuning in, this is the Stokers & Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers & Beer Radio Show. Time on deck here, 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Temperature is 78 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California, as we get ready for the second game of the National League Championship Series between the Padres and the Phillies tonight. It's going to be a 1:30 game, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 game here. That's a couple hours from now, not too far from now, but I guess the next 4 or 5 hours we'll get next 4 hours I believe we'll get the game on, you know, out here. But yeah, I just had my man JB out of Detroit, Michigan, former collegiate baseball player, Grace University, and he was on here blessing us with some of his baseball and also some of his NBA knowledge. He is a big NBA enthusiast, played basketball growing up and baseball growing up, so he's a two-sport athlete. So I'd like to get him on the show and get him to tell us what's going on in his opinion in basketball and baseball. And he stayed with us for about 30 minutes. So if you want to go back and listen to his take on things, you can always go back and listen to the recording of the podcast, because we record all our shows and everything. So if you missed his take on things, you can go back. And also, if you want to rebuttal it or rebuttal anything that I'm saying, you can also DM me on at Ferran Sports on Twitter. That's two words together, Ferran Sports, capital F and capital S. So at Ferran, F-E-R-R-A-N-D, Sports, S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. Again, if you want to debate us, you can go into the social media space on Twitter and debate us, or you can also debate us on Facebook as well. And on Facebook, it is Romero Ferran, R-A-M-I-R-O-F-E-R-R-A-N-D, Romero Ferran on Facebook. And you can also find the Stogies and Beer posts for Blog Talk on my page, and you can debate or rebuttal on that on the social media platform as well. However, if you'd like to call into the show and debate us on the show about the sport that you love, because this is the official platform for the Professional Armchair Quarterback on the Stogies & Beer Radio Show, you can call in 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. It is 9:03 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we're going to get off into some more music real quick. Stand by while we go into our music mix so the Late Night Dog can go on wet his throat. This is the Stogies & Beer Radio Show, and I'm going to go and deal with some beer here real quick. Stand by. Welcome back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning again on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. The Stogies and Beer Radio Show is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast his or her bold opinion about the sport they love. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show, but we also talk a lot about NBA, Major League Baseball, hip-hop, R&B, business, e-commerce, NHL, craft beer, and custom cigars. That's the craft beer and custom cigars is why we call it Stogies and Beer. Stogies and Beer just means that, you know, this show is about guys and girls sitting back, smoking a cigar, lighting up a cigar, popping open a can of beer, and just rattling on about the sport they love as a professional armchair quarterback. So if you'd like to call in and debate the host about our topic today, which is we're talking about Major League Baseball, NLCS, and NBA season openers. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of global listening audience. Topics covered will be results from Major League Baseball, National League Championship Series, and NBA opening day results. As we already know that the Padres lost 2-0 to the Philadelphia Phillies, so the Phillies took game one. Game two is coming up sometime today, this afternoon, about 1:30 Pacific time here in San Diego, California. So shouting out my San Diego Padres. Hopefully you guys can bounce back today and get a win. We want to at least split this series, these two games at home before we go to Philadelphia. We don't want to go there down 0-2. So hopefully we can get up out of here 1-1 and then get out there and win one at their place. As they say, the championship doesn't start until the home team loses. So I guess the championship series has started. But with that being said, we also had basketball news from last night. The Boston Celtics topped the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll get the scores on that soon. I forgot what the actual score was. When it comes up on the monitor, I'll let you guys know. At the same time, we had the Lakers. They fell to the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors had their ring ceremony last night. And the score was 123-109 in favor of the Golden State Warriors. So if you'd like to call and debate me on any of these topics, the call-in line is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. I want to go into excuse me. Sorry about that. I got to wet my throat. My throat's a little dry. I apologize for coughing on air. I should have muted out my mic. Sorry about that, people. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about a big event that's coming up on November the 16th and 17th. I'm going to take this next hour to talk about that. But in the middle of it, I'll go over some sports-related news that comes up over the monitor. But the event that I want to talk about today is called War Room. And if anybody knows me, they know that I'm a big supporter of minor league football, meaning any of the indoor leagues, arena leagues, like let's say National Arena League, Indoor Football League, Champions Indoor Football League, Fan Control Football. Those are the top four leagues that I deal with, but I also deal with other ones below that, like American West Football Conference, Arena Football Association, and there's some other ones out there. But mainly the first four that I mentioned, National Arena League, Champions Indoor Football League, Indoor Football League, and the Fan Control Football League, which has a national TV platform, Fan Control Football. So I encourage anyone, if you can get into Fan Control Football, as soon as you can get out there to Atlanta, Georgia, get into that mix because you are on TV every Saturday, national TV on the NBC platform. Here where I'm at is NBCLX. So moving on from that, the reason why I'm bringing this up is that I'm a strong supporter of minor league pro-developmental football is what I like to call it, pro-developmental football. But you might look at it as minor league football, however you want to look at it. But for pro-developmental football, the goal is to move guys up to the USFL level and the XFL level and let them make their way from there to try to get into an NFL camp. As we know, the USFL put in about 53 players or so, 53 players, I believe, on NFL rosters. Some made practice squads, some made 53-man rosters, and some had to go back home and go back to the USFL, which ain't a bad thing. They have a national TV platform on NBC and Fox, so it's not a bad thing. You still can get looked at. But we have the XFL coming up November the 16th and 17th, the XFL draft pool. And I have a live broadcast that I'm going to be doing, live broadcast special on November 16th and November the 17th, live broadcast special. And the live broadcast special is titled War Room. Why am I still on the draft board? Again, my live broadcast special on November 16th and 17th, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on both days, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on both days, which was basically just going to be during my show that I normally do. But it's going to be called War Room, Why Am I Still on the Draft Board? And the details on War Room, let me pull it up here to read it to you. War Room, Why Am I Still on the Draft Board? This event will allow street free agents that receive draft invitations for the 2023 XFL Draft Pool to express their emotions in a 15-minute interview regarding the wait to be drafted. It will allow them to consider if their invitation was legit or a fraud, allows them to express why they should already be drafted, allows them to express the joy of being drafted for a camp opportunity, and allows them to express why they should get a free agent camp contract to compete for an active roster spot in the XFL. So War Room, I created this show because I wanted to basically have the opportunity to hear live, raw emotions on that day because, you know, some of these guys, they've had these draft pool invitations. They've had these draft pool invitations for quite some time, and these draft pool invites are still going out to this day, and we still got four more weeks to go. So I'm just trying to figure out how many people are the XFL considering per position. They keep getting these, throwing these names up on this draft pool, And I try to encourage guys to just keep on taking all the avenues to keep getting film. And if you got to start from the pro-developmental level, take that. And don't just sit back and wait around for the XFL to call, because if you get a contract for pro-developmental football in the leagues that I mentioned before, they're going to release you to go and take that bigger opportunity at the USFL or the XFL level. But I've been noticing a lot of people are just, like, not taking the opportunities to go do the workouts, to go do the combines and things like that. So these coaches at the pro-developmental level can take a look at you and give you a chance. So I want to get these live emotions recorded on a live broadcast on draft day, November 16th, November 17th. On draft day, I want to get these these raw emotions from all of these players that have these draft pool invites, because you know how it is. On draft day, you're sitting there, you're waiting on your phone to ring, waiting on the email to come in and say, "Hey man, you got selected." I'm waiting on them to announce the pick over social media. Every time they announce a pick, I'm going to be broadcasting that pick on my show. So I want to get some raw emotions of some guys that are waiting around to get their name called. I want to hear the stress, the raw emotion of you saying that, why am I still on the draft board? Why nobody took me off the draft board? The team is in my hometown, or the team is in my region where I grew up and went to college at, and I got a fan base there. Why are they not picking me? And I was good. I feel like I'm good enough. I feel like I'm better than all the picks that they're picking. Why are they passing me over? Why am I still on the draft board undrafted? So I want to get those live emotions during War Room on November 16th, 17th. So I'm telling people, if you have a draft pool invitation that you're currently sitting on and want to be a part of this event, the ticket page is on Brown Paper Tickets. We have about 12 spots. I'm going to do 6 interviews on the 16th and 6 interviews on the 17th. And it's not just getting the live raw emotions of anger and rage because you're still on the draft board. It's also, I want to capture the live emotion of joy and happiness from guys that actually come off the draft board and when they can get picked in live time on a live platform in front of a global listening audience. I want to hear your live emotions of happiness and joy saying, "Hey, I came off the draft board. I'm actually going to XFL camp. And I'll be able to, you know, play on TV this year, play in a league that has good pay and a television audience to help boost my opportunity to go to the National Football League." So that's what War Room is all about, just getting live raw emotions on a live platform in front of a global listening audience. When I say global listening audience, it's just that. That's what Blog Talk Radio allows me to do. This is broadcast globally in every country. All they got to do is tune in. You could be in Thailand, Switzerland, Asia, Canada. You'd be anywhere and tune into my show. And some of these countries have football. They have football in Europe. You know, I have listeners in Poland, and I have listeners in Germany. Poland and Germany, I believe, right there next to each other. I have listeners over there. So got listeners in Africa. So it's, you know, you're going to be on a global platform. And a lot of these listeners are trying to keep up with what's going on in America as far as football goes. So the XFL draft pool, I'm going to be broadcasting picks live. And I'm also going to have some of my clients that I know got draft pool invites or went to a workout. I'm going to have my clients on air as well. And I'm talking about their intentions and everything like that, what they've been going through, waiting on opportunities. So some guys who did all these workouts and still haven't got a draft pool invite. One guy that did two. One guy that did two of them. And he has not gotten a draft pool invitation, and he got invited to a private workout up in Memphis for the XFL. Private workout in Memphis, Tennessee. I think that's for the D.C. team, I believe. I believe it was for the D.C. team. If not, whoever it was for, he got invited to a private workout up there. When you get invited, that's saying a lot. So he went done that, plus he went and did the workout in Florida. I got another guy that's already on the XFL draft pool. He already got his invite. He's been talking to teams like the DC Defenders. I think he was talking to another team down in, I think, the team in Florida, Orlando. So, you know, I'm going to definitely have to get him on the show. I got a guy doing the XFL waitlisted workout this weekend in San Diego, California, on October the 22nd. My man Grant eBay, wish him luck. Grant eBay is currently cornerback for the Tucson Sugar Skulls, returning for his second season. And I'm wishing him luck because he should have had an NFL opportunity. NFL teams were already setting him up for coming in for mini camp workouts, but COVID-19 struck all that down. They weren't bringing anybody into the facility, and he didn't get his opportunity during COVID-19. So he had to start at the indoor football league level. I got him in the Hub camp at Hub, which has just formed a partnership with the USFL. Hub just formed a partnership with the USFL, and that Hub is ran by Don Yee, super agent Don Yee, which is Tom Brady, the GOAT, Tom Brady's agent. He runs Hub, and they'll be returning back here in November, on November the 13th. They did have a showcase in Naples, Florida, but because of the hurricane, Hurricane Ian, they had to bring it back to San Diego because right now, you know, our weather's pretty fair, so they just rescheduled it to bring it out here again. So I got one player. He's going to be there for that. But the biggest thing is that Hub now has partnered up with the USFL as their scouting service. So they can send their scouts down to Hub, and then they can pick and pull players as they come in. So it's very critical now that you guys go ahead on and keep your money up to deal with Hub. And now that partnership, it may be a little bit more expensive to even get in Hub now than it was before. Currently, it's been anywhere from $750 to $1,350, depending on the package that you get. And plus, of course, you know, you got to get here, you got to travel here, you got to travel back, you got to eat while you're here, and you got to you know, have your whole hotel room, your lodging accommodations. They recommend your lodging accommodations and how you should fly in, what airport to fly into, and all that stuff. They get all that information, but you have to pay for these things. Nothing is free when you're trying to get to that bag. So definitely be on the lookout for that. As well, we have the Indoor Football League has partnered with the XFL. Indoor Football League, IFL, has partnered with the XFL, and they're going to be their minor league system to move players up from the Indoor Football League, meaning like teams like the Green Bay Blizzard, teams like the Sioux Falls Storm, teams like, who else, San Diego Strike Force, you know, all of these different teams in the Indoor Football League, Northern Arizona Wranglers, all these different teams, like Quad City Steamwheelers. So they're going to be partnered with the XFL as their minor league system. So, again, I go back to trying to tell guys, Stop passing up on the opportunity to sign a contract with the opportunities to go to Hub Camp, because that was major news. Hub part is partnered as the scouting service for the USFL, and the Indoor Football League has signed on, partnered up with the XFL to be their minor league system to move guys up from the Indoor Football League up. So you should be trying to get signed to Fan Control Football, Champions Indoor Football League, so you can have film to make a lateral move over to the IFL, and then use the IFL to get to the XFL. And you should also use the film in all four of those leagues: Fan Control Football, National Arena League, Indoor Football League, Champions Indoor Football League, to get an opportunity to go perform at Hub, because Hub is going to give you opportunity to get looked at for the USFL. So there's a lot of good things going on for pro-developmental football or minor league football, however you want to look at it. I call it pro-developmental football, so it doesn't sound like baseball. I call it pro-developmental football. It's opportunities there, and partnerships have been made for you to go and get seen. So it's up to you guys. I mean, I tell you all the time, don't sit around waiting. Sitting around waiting on the camp, sitting around waiting on XFL draft pool invite, or waiting around on the XFL, you know, the XFL draft to happen and see if you get drafted. or sitting around, you know, waiting on the USFL to call you and say, hey, we want to bring you in, we want to give you a camp contract. Don't sit around and wait on all this stuff, because you're going to be waiting and waiting and waiting, because football is so, it's just basically what these scouts see. Like, I got a guy right now that my scout that I deal with told me, well, the guy can play in this league, but we just don't need that kind of player. We're looking for a slot wide receiver, not a traditional wide receiver. But he can play in this league. But the team that my scout deals with, he's like, my offensive coordinator ain't looking for that type of wide receiver. He's looking for a smaller slot guy. My guy don't fit the bill. My guy's 6'5". He's 6'5", 200-something pounds. He's not a slot receiver. He's not a guy that's 5'10", you know, 180, 190. He's not that guy. So, you know, you can sit around and wait on all these opportunities if you want to, but all you're doing is basically letting opportunities slip through your fingers. You're letting opportunities slip through your fingers. You need to basically be active and be aggressive on trying to find teams to keep putting down film. Because I got a lot of great guys that are still waiting. They're waiting on the XFL, the USFL opportunity. And I've been told that certain teams are looking at them, but still the contract ain't came and the draft pool invitation ain't came. So, but the good thing about most of my guys, they're already playing for a team. And if they don't get called up, they'll just keep playing and eventually still get an opportunity to move up, because now these leagues are partnered up. These leagues and these combine situations are partnered up with the XFL and the USFL now. So what people were thinking, that the opportunities that I had, that I've had all this time, the last few years, they were looking at it like, oh, man, that's a small opportunity. I'm bigger than that. Well, you can look at it like you want. I've already made my relationship with these coaches. Now the leagues are partnered up with the bigger leagues now. So I'm glad I stuck to my guns and just kept building relationships, because sometimes coaches move up, scouts move up, personnel people move up, general managers move up, leagues move up, leagues partner up with other leagues. Some of these combines and everything, they partner with bigger leagues so they can be the official scouting service. There's so many things you guys can be out there doing. You know, so many things you guys can be out there doing. Even when the BSN combine, they're in Indianapolis. They're there during draft week. NFL draft week, BSN combine, Beyond Sports National Combine. My friend Jay and Jimmy Kibble out there, you know, they're doing a great job with that. And I tell people, hey, go with that, because those guys make sure that they partner themselves where the NFL is during draft week. Unfortunately, they don't allow agents and scouts to go to it because they're still working out some kind of partnership to where the NFL scouts can attend. But I have the utmost faith that they'll eventually get that worked out and partner with somebody like the CFL, or partner with somebody like the USFL, XFL as well as a scouting source. Get to their guns with their organizations, and they're making strides, just like I'm making strides. So I just, the only thing I can do is encourage you guys to make the right decision, make the right choice to move, to put yourself in position for a bigger opportunity. But you have to start somewhere. The whole thing is start somewhere. But again, I want to talk a little bit about November the 17th, 16th and 17th, the live broadcast we're doing during the XFL draft. And we're going to talk about this some more here shortly, but the time is 9:29 a.m., almost 9:30 here Pacific Standard Time on in California, Pacific Standard Time here in San Diego, California. Our weather here is 78 degrees and sunny, 78 degrees and sunny here in California, here in San Diego. And you're listening to the Stokers and Beer radio station broadcasting live, WBEST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. We're going into our last 30 minutes of the show. It is 9:30 a.m. on deck. And, again, I want to talk to you about the live event that we're going to be doing on November 16th and 17th 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on both days, Pacific Standard Time. We have 12 slots remaining for War Room. Why am I still on the draft board? And again, the details on War Room are as follows, just in case you didn't hear it. It's going to be War Room. Why am I still on the draft board? This event will allow three free agents that receive draft invitations for their 2023 XFL draft pool to express their emotions in a 15-minute interview regarding the wait to be drafted. It will allow them to consider if their invitation was legit or a fraud, express why they should already be drafted, allows them to express the joy of being drafted for a camp opportunity, and allows them to express why they should get a free agent camp contract to compete for an active roster spot. So this event is just basically here for athletes to have a global, to have a live platform in front of a global listening audience to express their joy and their pain during the XFL draft, November 16th and 17th. We have 12 spots. We're going to do 6 interviews one day and 6 interviews the next day. So it's not that many spots because I don't have that much time to put everybody on. But, you know, if you get your ticket, we'll have other people on there that are clients of mine. They don't have to pay to be on it because they're my clients already, and they'll be afforded the platform. If they did an XFL workout, they don't necessarily have to have a draft pool invite. But if you're not my client, you need to produce a draft pool invitation letter. So you can purchase the ticket. You just can't purchase the ticket. You have to be already invited to the XFL draft pool because I want your raw emotions if you're still on the draft board for a certain, you know, before the show goes off, before my show goes off. So during that 2 hours of my show, I want to get your live emotions. If you're happy that you got selected or if you're upset because you're still waiting to get drafted and want to know why. So it's going to be a mega event. I call it the War Room because just like when they're trying to select who they're going to pick, the teams that they're in, like the Dallas Cowboys, they're in the War Room when they're trying to select who's coming off the board. So I have my own War Room, but we're basically just sitting here waiting on their War Room to select your name to come off the draft board and go into camp. So it's a good time for football, you know. I want to give a shout-out to my people with Athlete Scouting. They just had their combine this past weekend in Kansas City, Missouri. They just had their combine, and I saw the pictures. Looked like they had a good turnout, at least about 20 guys or more that turned out for that. So good luck to those guys, and hopefully some of the eight teams that showed up from the arena indoor football leagues. So hopefully they'll offer those guys some contracts because they made their way to Kansas to get looked at. And I like what my man Zach Hippen and Brandon Davis are doing with that service with Athlete. So you can find them on Twitter at AthElite, at A-T-H, Elite, E-L-I-T-E, all one word, at AthElite on Twitter. And you can also follow my man Brandon Davis. I think his tag is at BDavis1 on Twitter. And you can also find, I think, Zach Hibden on Facebook, Z-A-C-H, Hibden, H-I-B-D-O-N, Zach Hibden on Facebook. And you can find both of those guys, Brandon Davis and Zach Hibden, and my friends on Facebook at Ramiro Ferrand on Facebook, or go to my Ferrand Sports Management Agency page, Ferrand Sports Management Agency page on Facebook as well. So, it's a lot of good things going on, but I'm really excited about War Room. I'm really excited about the War Room. You know, why am I still on the draft board, you know? And in the details, it says it'll give you the opportunity to find out if your draft invitation was legit or not. There was a scandal going on about a month or so ago, about a month and a half ago, 2 months maybe. People were getting – it was brought to the XFL Operations Department that some people were getting fraudulent fake draft invitations. Some agency or agencies out there were producing draft invitation letters to guys that the XFL had not generated those letters. Somebody figured out a way to copy and paste a name to these letters and send them out to their clients or it, so they could boast. It sounds like they could boast how many people they were getting, so people could either come on board, sign with them, or pay to sign on with their service because they were getting so many draft pool invites. So for athletes, they're getting so many draft pool invitations for these athletes. So the XFL had to go back and investigate whose invite was legit, whose invite wasn't legit. I don't even know currently if that's been cleared up or not. And that's why we're doing this show, because it's gonna make guys have to think, hey, I've been sitting on this draft pool invitation for 5 or 6 months, and come to find out, did I not get picked because I had a fake invitation, or did I not get picked because I wasn't good enough within the field of people on the draft board to get selected? We don't know, but that's why I'm making this live global event on Blog Talk Radio. I'm giving you a live platform in front of a global listening audience to come in and vent your emotions live during the XFL draft, November 16th and November the 17th. 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. 8 a.m., 10 a.m. Pacific time on November 16th and 17th. The War Room, live broadcast event on Blog Talk Radio, on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show during the XFL draft. So with that being said, we're going to take a small break. I got to wet my throat. My throat's a little dry, so I need to go and wet my throat. I already popped my can, and it's a little early out here on the West Coast, but I already popped my can. But I had a weird night, didn't sleep much, but I had a weird night. It is 9:37 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and the weather is 78 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny, and this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. We're going to go off into some music mix, and we'll be back. Stand by.
Thank you.
Kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer Radio can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And this is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call into the show and debate and banter about the sport that he or she loves. The call-in line is 515-602-9687. To call into the show is 515-602-9687. And give your bold opinion or debate me about anything that we're talking about on the show. Or if you have some sport news that you want to banter about or debate about that I don't know about, you can call into the show as well and teach me about that particular sport, that particular topic, and we'll go from there. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll teach you about it. Today's topic was Major League Baseball National League Championship Series. Well, we've seen that last night the San Diego Padres lost to the Philadelphia Phillies 2-0, and NBA season openers last night, the Boston Celtics defeated the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Golden State Warriors defeated the Los Angeles Lakers. In basketball news today, a lot about Russell Westbrook. Again, first game of the season, Lakers didn't look particularly that great, and everybody keep dumping it on Russ. Russell Westbrook. And just like me and one of my friends of the show were discussing this morning, JB from Detroit, Michigan. JB called in to the show, and he called in and gave us his opinion on this Russell Westbrook situation. You can go back and rewind the show. It's about at the 37-minute mark of the first hour. You can go back and listen to his take on Major League Baseball and Russell Westbrook. But speaking of the Russell Westbrook take, he was just saying just like I did, you know, Russell Westbrook has been the same, consistently the same person his whole career. He's a double-double, you know, a triple-double machine. He's a triple-double guy, you know. And if I'm saying that incorrect, correct me, because my terminology might not be as great as some of the guys that play the game, but NBA is my second love. basketball is my second love. NFL is my first, right along with, well, it'll be boxing for me, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. So some of my terminology, I believe Russell Westbrook has consistently hit triple-doubles, and he broke Oscar Robertson's record. He's been doing this stuff since Oklahoma, moving on from Oklahoma to Houston, from Houston to Washington, from Washington to the Lakers. He's been the same player. Russell Westbrook has been the same player. And I can't understand why, you know, everything is dumped on his shoulders. Everything is dumped on his shoulders when it comes down to people saying that, oh, it's Russell's fault that we're losing. It's Russell's fault that the Lakers are in the position that they're in. It's Russell. It's Russ. It's Russ. It's not Russ. Russ has been that same type of player, the same player they acquired from free agency, I believe, or from Washington. I think he was in a free agent and then signed back on with Washington for an extension and wound up going to the Lakers in the free agent market. So he goes to the Lakers, the same person that y'all signed that was just in Washington, previously in Houston, previously in Oklahoma City. He's the same guy. Guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, easily, and he's just a guy that's going to take the ball to the rack. He plays aggressive. He's going to take the ball to the rack. He's not going to be a mid-range shooter, point shooter. Yeah, he hits some of that stuff sometimes. I mean, this guy, he's just going to be one of those guys that take it to the hole, and we all know that. That's why we like him, because he's high-octane action. He's not going to play the game like a shooter, a shooting guard. That ain't what he is. So quit trying to make him a shooting guard. And this is the stuff that me and JB was talking about earlier this morning. We also was talking about, you know, the hierarchy of the Golden State Warriors. We know the hierarchy is Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. That's the hierarchy. Steph and Klay, the Splash Brothers. Then you got the Dogs and Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala won a Finals MVP, if I'm correct. He won a Finals MVP for his hard work. So all I'm saying is this, the hierarchy. And we were talking about Jordan Poole trying to, you know, step kind of like stepped out of line with Draymond Green, who was a member of the hierarchy. As I seen that picture last night when all four of them was there with their rings, you didn't see the other 11 or 12 guys in that photo. You didn't see Jordan Poole in that photo. You're not part of the hierarchy. And I like Jordan Poole, but I'm getting information that's unconfirmed, but JB told me, he said, they heard, the rumor is last year, Jordan Poole had been stepping out of line then, kind of like popping off at the mouth. And somebody, you know, in Draymond Green, this time said, you know what, let me go and put you in line. I don't know if it went to his head that he got his money, $140 million, but I'm just hearing, it's unconfirmed. I ain't got nothing against Jordan Poole. I hate the whole situation happen, and I hate to see it, you know, play it out on camera, on video. But the word I'm getting from my man, JB, I don't know his source, can't verify the source. I don't like putting out rumors on my show, but, it's just rumor. I say it like this here, rumor has it. I don't mind sharing a rumor, but I can't confirm a rumor on my show. But I'll say rumor has it from my man, JB, I don't know his source, that Jordan Poole had been pulling this stuff last year, you know, popping off at the mouth, getting out of line. Well, I guess Draymond Green obviously must have had enough of him to say, let me put you in your place, young buck. You ain't part of the hierarchy. And this may be Draymond Green's last year with the Golden State Warriors, depending on what he can sign on for. But I really don't see Draymond going anywhere. If anything, I see him being like a Udonis Haslam with the Miami Heat, or like Jalen. Who's that? Not Jalen Rose, but I forgot my man name. That's with the head coach for Michigan right now. It'll come to my head in a minute. But they stayed with the Heat forever. And, they sign on, you sign on for a little bit of nothing, but, hey, I'm still on the bench. I'm still with my guys. I'm still helping the organization. I see Draymond Green being a guy like that, just being on the team, just staying there. You know, he's going to always be royalty. You're going to have to just sign for a little bit of nothing, be like a player coach on the bench, and, just, hey, Just be a mentor for guys. But I don't see Draymond going anywhere. Golden State is his home. I think he's comfortable there. He still has his platform there. You know, got his podcast. I don't see no reason why he needs to go nowhere. And at the same time, Jordan Poole got his money, so of course he ain't going nowhere. He's part of that new upper, the new regime is coming in. I believe with Kayvon Looney, Jamar Poole, and who is that? Looney, Poole, Wiggs, and Wiseman. So, and then Kuminga. Those five guys, Looney, Kuminga, Wiseman, and Wiggs, that's the new regime. That's the new regime coming in. That's going to be the new hierarchy. Because the hierarchy right now is they're getting old in the tooth. They're going to have to pass the torch. But I see Golden State being dominant for a while. I'm going to be honest. I don't see nobody beating Golden State in the style of ball that they play for a minute. You may have some guys because they're finna get younger. You may have some guys that can compete. But I see them winning the next three championships. I'm going to at least say next three, maybe four championships. I don't see anybody out there, as long as they're playing the ball that they're playing right now, I don't see anybody beating them. I'm going to be honest. Coming to the end of our show, it's 9:54 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it's 84 degrees Fahrenheit, sunny. I want to give a big shout-out to my San Diego Padres. That's going to be taking the mound at 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern time. They're going to be taking the mound against the Philadelphia Phillies. Good luck today, Padres. We need this one. We don't want to leave San Diego and go to Philadelphia down 0-2. We need a 1-1 split today, guys. So let's do like my man JB said. We need to get the ball down, get some guys on base, drive in some runs. We don't necessarily need to hit home runs. We need to get guys on base. We need base hits and drive guys in. We need to get guys home. So I'm predicting the Padres to win this game 3-2. That's my prediction, 3-2. And they'll split the series at home and head it out of here to Philly. So let's hope we can get a 3-2 win. A 3-1 win or a 3-0 win. I'm looking for us to have to score three times today. And I'm looking at us winning either 3-2, 3-1, or 3-0. But anyway, this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. We're going to get ready to set black and fade all. As I always say on my Friday, Thursday is my Friday. Stogies and Beer Radio Show is heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And we'll be back on Monday. God be willing, we'll be back on Monday morning, reporting news from the weekend and everything like that. So we'll be back on Monday morning. Everybody stay safe out there. Be light, not darkness. Be light, not darkness. Show love, not hate. Love one another and treat everyone the way you want to be treated. We're all one people, one human race. That's it. One people. Only race is the human race. Don't matter about your skin color. Don't matter about your gender. Don't matter about whatever religious group you're with, whatever the case may be, sexual preference, whatever. We're all one people. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Love one another. Be light, not darkness. Keep your mask on. It's flu season. Get your vaccinations. Stay safe from monkeypox. Watch your contact. COVID-19 is still looming. Make sure you got your boosters and everything like that. We're going into cold and flu season. Everybody stay safe out there. And again, we'll see you back on Monday morning. This is Stogies and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST Chula Vista. Have a great day, and we're going to set black and fade off. set black, fade off.